Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! We're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Welcome, everybody. It's Pottercast 158. Woohoo! I'm here again with John, Sue and Fruck, and we're here for another fun week of Harry Potter, whatchamacallit. We aren't stopping to say hello to our sponsor this week, so we will go right into our top Sue's news.
Do it, Sue's.
Right?
We have only really a handful of news to this week because there's just not a lot going on. I know that we're all excited about Half-Blood Prince, but we're not getting anything. But we do have a bit of news on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, as Jason Isaacs has once again confirmed he will return as Lucius Malfoy for both movies.
Yay! Nice.
Yeah.
You know what I also heard about him recently?
Uh-oh.
He has a walk-on role in Entourage.
Yes, he does.
Did you confirm that?
Yes, I do watch that show. He is. He's filming one as a walk-on for that, yeah.
I love that show.
Is he playing himself?
Yeah.
Not sure, but all I heard about it from Matt Britton is that he plays golf with the characters Turtle and Drama, and I don't know why, but I guess Jason Isaacs is a really big fan of that show, so he was talking about how excited he was.
Right. He's so cool. Like, he's so enthusiastic about the work he does. It's not to his head. It's not expected of him. Well, all I hear about him, he's just really enthusiastic about his career.
Right. Jason actually mentioned that he's going to be an Entourage on the coming soon interview that we have on Leaky. But he also talks about being excited about working with Helen McRory, who's playing Narcissa. And even though he won't be with her in Half-Blood Prince, he is looking forward to working with her in Deathly Hallows. And, you know, he just gushes about being able to do scenes with, like, you know, Gary Oldman and Michael Gambit and Richard Harris and now her. So he is thrilled, you know.
All right, so what's number two on your list this week?
Number two, okay, listen up, Equus fans, and this is really pretty cool news, I think.
DVD.
DVD?
Equus DVD.
Equus DVD?
Equus is not put on DVD. Equus.
Theater does not usually get put on DVD.
No, it does not. Readers and listeners will know that actor Dan Radcliffe and Richard Griffiths are reprising their role in Equus this fall on Broadway, and joining the cast will be actress Kate Mulgrew, who is a fabulous stage actress, but I think most people might know her from Star Trek The Voyager series as Captain Jean.
Excellent.
Joining what? She's going to be in the cast of Equus?
So she's the girl in Equus?
She's
got to be the mother. Okay.
The mom, yeah. Jesus Christ. She's in her 50s.
Yeah. Wrong here.
Are you guys big Trekkies? Wilson and Frack, do you watch that?
Only very recently. Like the past year, I've gotten into Star Trek.
It used to be on around my bedtime when I was little, so I would watch it for a few minutes before I went to sleep, but I never really got into it. I'm sure it's great.
My dad was into Next Generation when I was younger.
Yeah, Next Generation.
I used to watch a little bit with him, but other than that, I only know really shallow. I don't really know much about it.
Well, Next Generation and Voyager are the only two Star Treks I like.
I do like the one with Odo, because he could turn into things, and I used to pretend I could turn into things.
I never heard of that one.
He's this alien that's like a plasma base, and he could take the shape of different things.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to like him.
I would be made of plasma.
That would be a scary thought.
Plasma's like that one thing in sci-fi that no one knows anything about, so they can just say that it can do anything. Like, it can do a TV, and you can be made up of it, and you can eat it, and breathe it, and make toast out of it, so...
Plasma toast. On that topic, what is the number three of this week?
Emma Watson fans, now we have news for you. The trailer for her new film that she's going to be in, she's an animated voice. It's called The Tales of Despero, is now online. There's a new trailer, and it's absolutely adorable. You should go see it, watch it. It's absolutely adorable.
Are there any characters in there saying anything is absolutely fantastic?
You know, and there's no eyebrow movement either, you know, for those that are making fun.
I'm not making fun of her.
I love Emma Watson.
No, it's not. That wasn't even about Emma Watson. If you've watched the collection of Dan's interviews over the years, and we love Dan. Can I just say this again before I say the rest of this?
Nah.
We love Dan. But he says a lot. It's absolutely fantastic. And he says it the exact same way every time, and it's so cute. And but so now everything is suddenly absolutely fantastic.
There are a lot of things that like the trio repeats in interviews. It's just fun and endearing. But it's turned into the only things that I can actually say in a British accent, because I've heard it so much I can just mimic their inflections. So that's the only we were walking around New York City as British people one day, and everything was absolutely fantastic, and
go back
say
to
other things.
Walking. Go back a second. You were walking around New York City as British people.
Yeah, Sam and I decided to dress up as New York tourists, and we went and got, like, I bought one of those Statue of Liberty hats like you see in Enchanted, and we bought I Love New York shirts, and we were tourists from England, so we walked around all day as English tourists, because we were really bored watching Melissa write her book. So
yeah, well, I told you it was going to be a boring week.
We escaped into the city.
As we teased a couple weeks ago, of course, we should have known how smart you guys are. You guys got it right immediately on our forums. Yes, we will be going on tour this summer.
Woo!
We can't wait, the four of us. We're going on tour with the Remus Lupins and the Whomping Willows.
Oh, my God. I love those guys.
It's so very exciting. And actually, it was a total accident, because we figured that after Comic-Con, we would come over to the East Coast and do some shows on the East Coast, because we didn't do that last summer. Mm-hmm. And so we just figured, oh, we'll go to Boston at the end of July, et cetera, et cetera. And we looked at their schedules, and what we wanted to do lined up immediately with what they were doing, mm-hmm. and it was perfect. So it's going to be like Boston, Providence, New York, New Jersey, then
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia,
then Pittsburgh, then Detroit. Now, we have places for, I think, Detroit and Providence, but we are looking for places where we can do a rock show / podcast with... What?
I thought you were going to say places to sleep.
No. Well, of course that too. But if you know of good venues, please let us know.
Yeah.
We're looking in Boston. We're looking in New York. We got a couple of leads in New York, but we're still looking.
Yes.
New Jersey, preferably in the southern area. We want to do someplace around, hopefully around Atlantic City or somewhere near that area.
Yeah, totally.
Atlantic
Philadelphia
City.
And Pittsburgh.
And if you happen to have a large rec room with fold-away beds or a room in your house for seven or 12 people, and you can let us know with enough time to do background checks and all that. Just kidding. I think it's fun about the fandom is that everybody just thinks they can inherently trust everybody, which is kind of fun and kind of dangerous, but... I don't care. There's 12 of us and only probably 4 of you, so, you know, no one's going to pull anything if they invite us into their house. So.
Actually, because last year people were very kind last year. I mean, you know,
they were.
They were just extraordinary.
We have some great houses.
Yes. But, we're going on. We're coming
lovely.
To see you people. Yay!
I know.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? Here's the thing right here. Here's what I'll say. For everybody who lets us stay at their house, I will cook breakfast for them.
I might even draw them a picture.
Ooh.
You could draw them a family portrait, Frankie.
I could. For their mantle.
Yes.
So
that'd be lovely. Oh my God.
Wait,
we're gonna
what does cooking breakfast qualify as? Like pouring orange juice? Is this what? Or is there more involved?
No, John cooks.
John does all out. I'll do eggs and potatoes, maybe pancakes, or either or.
It's all just very fatty.
I'm hungry.
As long as it has lots of olive oil, so Melissa can be about it all day.
Well, excuse me.
Olive oil.
What?
Nothing.
Rachel Ray loves olive oil. Did you watch Rachel Ray?
Rachel EVOO,
that's
baby.
Right.
It's
like, yeah. That's right.
It's good for you.
It's good for you when you don't drink the bottle. Okay.
What? Just because I came out here to California and the first thing I bought was a 5-liter bottle of olive oil?
Oh, my God. Oh.
It weighs like 13 pounds.
I can smell it from my house.
Okay. Podcast tours. We're going to try and do something in San Diego the day after the Comic-Con panel that we're doing this Sunday. So, if you know some place in San Diego that would like to have, and that'll be just a podcast. Then we're going to come back east, and it will be Boston, then Rhode Island, where we already have a place to have the show. Then it's New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Detroit. And we need ideas for places on New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. So.
Oh, and for all of you who are used to coming to tour stops for bands or for podcasts, and any of you who have never I'd be shirts tea ever a.
Thanks,
you
God.
might find some something to make you happy at
all
these
right.
shows.
All right, moving on. No, but I was so excited when I brought this idea to you guys. I wasn't sure if you'd be excited about it because last summer's was so long.
Yeah.
But the excitement I got from you guys just made me so happy.
Yeah.
Well, remember we were sitting, were we driving in Florida and we're like, oh no, we were driving in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're like. We were in the car for all of 15 minutes, and we're like, we should tour.
let's
do a week tour.
I never got to tour before, so I'm very excited.
Yay.
Well, it's going to take us over to Terminus, which is perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Frankie, you've never seen any of the East Coast.
Never. Wow. I'm an East Coast newbie.
You're going to meet Butchka. You're going to meet my mom.
Butchka! I'm determined to have that cat not hate me, by the way.
Yeah, you wait.
Good luck.
You wait.
Yeah.
Can't basically, if you maybe take a bath in tuna fish water, she might like you.
John.
No.
That's the only way through her heart, I think, is probably food.
Okay.
She's just like me.
You hit the
All right.
People.
Well, do we have a secret number five news item this week?
Yes, we do.
I've been waiting to announce this forever. Since like late September, early October of last year, I've known this was going to happen, and it was going to be something, and I just, there's never been the right day. I never know exactly when to say it. But as all of you, hopefully, or most of you know, I've talked about here, I've written a book called Harry, A History, The True Story of a Boy Wizard, His Fans, and Life Inside the Harry Potter Phenomenon.
I spell checked it for.
John did not spell check it for me.
Caught.
Thank you. But it does include abundant interview content with Ms. Jo Rowling.
What?
Yeah.
Who? Miss J.K. Rowling?
Miss J.K. Rowling.
You mean like an impersonator, right? Not
impersonator, no. I spent 2 days in Edinburgh, and we literally, it was an 8-hour interview, and I asked her in the middle of it, have you ever talked about the phenomenon to this extent? She said, no, with anybody. Yeah. So it was, because she always gets asked about the actual canon, the actual fiction, you know?
Where did you get the idea to write Harry Potter?
How did you like, you know, exactly. What makes it a success? We talked about everything, about
who's
religion
Polish?
And Harry Potter. Who's Polish?
Polish.
About religion and Harry Potter, about the fiction, about fan fiction, about all the stories you've heard about how the books became a success and all the little back behind the scenes stories. That's all collated into one and includes even more information that hasn't been told before. I also spoke with her editors and her agents, and I mean basically her whole group of people were just unbelievably wonderful to me throughout this process. And that's all in the book, so it's really exciting.
Wow.
And I have to thank the New York meetup group. I'm doing my first real reading of the book will be I'll announce it at another date and time, but I had a little practice one last night with the group from the New York meetup, the group that shall not be named, and they were wonderful and very welcoming and really took my nerves off because I've never read my stuff out loud before, and it was really unnerving, but they were really welcoming and helpful. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. When is this coming out, Melissa?
November 4th, and it will be available in the UK, and it will be available in Australia. I've just found out. It's just you know, the book would have been the book without it, but with it, with Joe in there, there's so much more information that you've never heard, confirmation of stuff you might have heard. Great old stories told in new ways, and I'm just so excited to share it with you guys. It's like I have this 100-page single-spaced interview sitting on my computer with Joe. And do you now imagine as a Harry Potter reporter how it feel like it's like obscene for the fandom that I haven't shared it yet. You know, it's just sitting there. So
I'm officially mad at you. So.
You snitch.
You know, obviously I couldn't get it all into the book, so when I have a website, which Frankie is designing, I'm very excited. I will be putting extra little bits on there for it.
Cool.
So yeah, hopefully I'll share everything because I know it's like high crime to hide your J.K. Rowling interview. You know?
Pretty much. I'm going to have to burn you.
Would you go here for podcast where you read or like do a little parts of it here as we get along closer on the show?
Absolutely.
Okay, okay.
Mm.
I want to know.
Absolutely.
Since I don't haven't heard the book yet or read
it. Can I offer suggestions?
And hear the part about Hufflepuff.
I'm trying to find right now a little Joe quote that we can...
Joe quotes. We love Joe quotes.
Stick in there. That it doesn't give away all too much, but... Oh, we talked about the New York Times bestseller list stuff.
Oh,
there's so much.
Again.
There's a lot. I think you guys will enjoy. But as we get
tell her about the hidden chapter with Remus and Sirius.
Stop.
What?
You're so sorry.
The one that Bloomsbury wouldn't let her publish.
That's so not true. Not true. People at home are going, what? No, it's just John Noe being John Noe. It's not true. There's no fantasy chapter.
No.
Sorry.
But really,
I didn't say anything about a fantasy chapter, Sue. I just said hidden chapter. They could have went dueling with some policemen.
Sure.
Probably, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On a motorcycle.
Oh. Wait, they
no,
did.
No, I mean, I really, she hasn't talked at this length about the actual phenomenon that was created around her books and all the little vaccine stories that happened. Like, for instance, we do find out the truth about a certain... Well, I don't want to say it yet because you all are too smart and you'll get it.
Oh.
And there's many months until this book comes out for us, so I'll talk about it.
You're gonna crack. Admit it. You're just.
I am. This is terrible. This
not
is.
Today.
I can't even tell you. Keeping my book non-spoiled is. I don't even know. I'm the one who tries to get the spoilers.
Yeah.
You know, they're not spoilers, but you know what I mean. I'm the one who wants to know, and now I have to sit here and not say anything. It's driving me crazy. Anyway. Okay. Oh well, thank you guys for listening.
For that rocking.
Oh, it's time for another return to Canon Conclundrums. Frankie has a fun one for us. We'll get to you right here after a little soundbite. Ooh. Hey, we're back with Canon.
Frankie's idea this week, so why don't you tell us what the
who are we sorting?
No more sorting. Oh. I like the sorting system.
For a while.
Anywho, I always wanted to discuss how wizarding schools would be ran in America, because I don't think it'd be. I think it'd be very different than Europe or you know England or whatnot, because boarding schools aren't the norm over here, and so I think that there'd be some other type of system or organization to magical education or in the States. So, do you guys have any initial thoughts? You just want me to go into it? What I think is how it would work.
Let's start off with Mr. Frank.
Magical education in the United States would be integrated into the school system already, whether it be public or private. It would just, the students who had that, you know, that would get their letters or however they would say, they would approach the parents with the letter like, oh, we have a special program, that focuses on this, and they would go to like... During the day, like, they would have a couple hours where they would leave their regular classroom and they would do, like, learn some of their magical stuff. And then I would imagine, like, the wizard, like, and it'd be, like, wizards in the schools, you know, the school boards that would be planted there to be planted at different schools. And they would use, like, memory charms just in case stuff happened. Like, you know, they'd have, like, oh, we're going on a science field trip when it's really, like, you know, potions class or whatnot. You know what I mean? But, like, people, like, the principal who, if the principal's a muggle, you know, they would use their discretion whether they knew of it or they would just kind of, like, modify the memory in that sense.
Could you imagine that story if, like, somebody found out?
Yeah.
In our press system, what would happen?
You know, so it just your mind whirls and you wonder, would like, the head of the American, you know, American equivalent of Hogwarts go talk to, you know, George Bush and say, hey, let's have a little hoedown party and...
Oh, my God.
You know? They're painting.
Where would it be?
I think it'd be integrated into existing schools.
Well, we know of one that's a wizard school. It's the America. It's the Salem Witches Institute.
It's in Salem.
Right. Well, that's just one, but that sounds like a full-on wizard school.
So. Well, think of how much bigger the United States is than Britain.
Right.
Yeah. So there'd have to be more.
Have to have more than one.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably have like an East Coast and a West Coast, and
maybe a middle. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe, that should be on the list.
Yeah.
How many American schools there are.
Uh-huh.
But if it...
It's not a big deal, like, being far away, because they could just... I bet operating and what... Or, you know, if it is an institution like that, you know, teleporting might be a little more, you know, instead of just living there, they could just teleport to and from.
You know, what I've always wondered is, like, would that mean that the Americans get more of an education than the people at Hogwarts? Because the people at Hogwarts, they don't take, like, you know, language arts or history. Well, they take history and magic, but, like, you know, they don't have, like, the full-rounded general education classes like math or anything
Joe,
like that.
Joe has said that they get homeschooled, but then obviously that stops when they go to middle school, so it's a little confusing. It's like, how are these people functioning in society without the government realizing that they're not going to school,
right?
Like, as far as they know, you know?
Yeah.
In our society, I think it would go a lot, like, it would be really hard to hide them. They would have to go to the elementary schools, even if they were wizards.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that the government would try and insist in their own way that no matter what, they had to get the general requirements in, too. And the no wizard left behind.
Completely. Completely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's a good assessment because, you know, like, they would make some sort of deal, like, okay, you know, as long as they're participating in their, you know, their arithmetic and their English and their reading, they can, you know, they can learn their other stuff, you know, when the other kids, like, when they go to science, they'll go over to learn their magic, whatnot, like, and potions and all that jazz.
Yeah. But it couldn't be as subject to government regulation as everything else, because if it was, it would be public, and it would be, the fear would overtake people again, that these people are powerful, that even if they're using it for good, they're powerful people, would have another kind of Salem, even if not with the horrible acts of the previous centuries, but we'd have another isolation of different people in our society.
Yeah, basically some sort of leash they want to put on these people or some sort of way to neuter them. That's why I think that the whole memory charms and having people into the school district and the system, the school boards, might be effective, you know, because, like, they can...
Actually, you know, I want to take that. You know, I think about what you said about the fear and the thing, but I think there would actually be, like, we have homeschooling in this country is rising dramatically. And so what if there was, like, a secret part of our government that said, okay, we just have, like, a wizard liaison office, you know?
That's true.
Our government is so bureaucratic.
That's what Area 51 is.
I'm just laughing because I'm imagining a wizard appearing in George Bush's Oval Office in his first week in office and telling him that there are wizards. I can just see his reaction. I can see it.
I could just see his facial expression more than his reaction.
Oh, dear God.
That's what Area 51's all about.
You know?
You know, but...
That's what?
I said that's what Area 51's all about.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe it is.
It's not aliens.
Really,
wizards. You know?
We'd have people protesting to close down Azkaban.
Ooh, and what if there's an American
wizarding community
wizard
right.
in jail?
I just think our government is so, like, we gotta study and secretize and bureaucratize everything. I can just see them trying to do that with the wizarding world. I really can. I do.
And I can see them trying to experiment on some of them to find out how you get this magic.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
What is this magic?
The wizards are right. Keep it secret.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Exactly.
Even Gandalf.
Good words.
Got him from a... Let me credit properly. Got him from Gandalf.
Yeah, I thought that too, but I just think... I don't know. This is really interesting. I think there would have to be more than one. It would just definitely have to be.
Oh, for sure. And I would even think they'd even have college programs, too. Like, you know, you go to a university, and, like, you can go to, like, Harvard. There's a secret, you know, pocket in Harvard that... I don't know. Or, like... You like look at the secret society stuff you always hear about. That'd be funny if, like, all along that was just the wizarding community, like, laying under, like, flying below the radar, but having a red herring out there. You know, like, the Illuminati. You hear about that. And so, like, to keep that there, just to, like, oh, they're like, oh, yeah, there is something secret. Yeah, just go look at it. But really, they're just kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah. It is a little freaky about the idea that children who are already... Their name is written down as having a special talent, being secretly tapped on when they're, you know, young, and their life has to go down a secret path. It is a little, a little strangeness there. It's like when you see, I hate to make this comparison because it's not at all like the wizarding culture, but like Child is a pianist, a really great pianist when they're young in a communist country. Pianist, John. Piano.
Great.
Get some culture. Okay.
So,
when they're really great the government kind of controls their life in Korea, and you know, and yeah, I would hope that it would not be government.
Yeah, I would hope that it's not, but I can just see that that would be their attempt because they do that. I just had to go back to what you were saying about they go on to do these undercover things, like, you know, so they're the ones that work at the Dharma Project then or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they're the spies. Could you imagine a spy who's a wizard? That'd be amazing.
That would explain the CIA then. That would explain a lot. You solved it. It
explains the CIA.
You know what I would want to see though is like Olympics, like for like not just
Wizarding
Quidditch,
Olympics,
but like, you know, biggest engorgement charm or
that'd be awesome.
Like, you know, fastest.
The Wizard Games.
You know, how high can you win Wingardium Leviosa?
I wish like, if they do have stuff like that in the Wizarding Community.
Then a Triwizard.
Well, I mean, they have the Quidditch World Cup, and you know, right. I don't know if we'd have a Triwizard.
Yeah, and the Triwizard.
Yeah, but it's all Quidditch, and the Triwizards were little school kids, but there's got to be, like, professional, like, Dawlish-level people out there trying to compete in some kind of games.
You reckon Dawlish is a professional athlete now, huh? Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, do you think that they had, like, people get in the Colosseum, what's it called, gladiators or wizards? Like, they could just have these big duel-offs or whatever. Maybe back in, like, the more, less civilized times of the wizarding world. Well, maybe, you know, back in, you know, their equivalent of Roman times when that was entertainment. You know, I think people battled for
their life.
Entertainment to the death. Sure. I would pay money for that.
Yeah, you would, son.
That would explain some.
You know, maybe they put the criminals in there, and that can be, like, you know, you're going to jail, or you can gladiator wizard style. And if you win, you can get out in 5 years.
Yeah, the most violent, proficient people who can kill all the other criminals to be released in 5 years.
That's barbaric. Thank you.
That's what it used to be. I mean, that's the whole thing. You fight to win your freedom.
That's true.
You know, so.
Scary.
Totally.
You are a lion.
It's so cool that you sit here and we have these conversations like this, and you think, well, what good could if you had magic? Would they go to work at places like, you know, cancer research or the Mayo Clinic and try and do, you know, AIDS research and try and do some good, put magic towards doing good things in the world?
And would it be useful? Would their magic just evaporate in regular human? Like, I'd love to hear J.K. Rowling speak more if she has this all figured out about to what level. Is it molecular?
Yeah.
Is it like that's why you're magic, or is it just magic and that's it? Mm-hmm. We can't agree.
Yeah. See, I always saw it as like as energy, or like it's their form of technology. So like you're still working with the same basic building blocks, but it's just their way of doing it is a little more efficient sometimes, or you know what I mean? Like say if you were to heal, like you know, there's some wounds that even magic can't heal. I would imagine it'd be the same way. If you don't understand the disease, like you can't really just like throw stuff at it. You have to just to know how to attack it, so like.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have, say, Mungo
fitting
serious malady.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. That's
different.
A good point.
Wow. The mind reels. I want to go to one of these wizard magic schools. Mm. I mean, do it.
I would be in heaven if I did.
There is this this show on the Disney Channel right now called The
Waverly
Wizards
Place.
Oh, yeah.
Something. And it's just a total knockoff of Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah, they're all like, you know, we have magic, and, you know, they go to their, they have, like, one episode where they were just kind of mocking Hogwarts, and they said that it was something that they went to over the summertime, so it was, like, their summer school, and they all went with their robes and their glasses. Everybody wore Harry Potter glasses for some stupid reason. But, yeah, the idea was that they still went to regular school during the year, and your parents taught you most of your magic, and then the people who were particularly gifted in magic would go to the summer school for wizards.
Yeah, I like the idea that even in America they'd have schools, because it's important to socialize, and it's important to know other people in your community, especially when a community is as isolated as
that's a good point.
It would be. But see, I really think that it would be a Hogwarts style. It would be a boarding school. You're talking about a really small percentage of the population, and they have to know people who don't live near them, because by necessity, you'll have less wizards in each area than you do, you know, have muggles. So I think there would be like 3 or 4 schools around, and people would travel to them, and they would go away for.
Yeah, it'd be regional. It'd be, you know, northeast, southeast.
It's the four houses,
right? The winds, woo!
Hey, there you go. That's how they do it.
Interesting.
Huh.
I like that.
That's pretty cool.
I do too.
That'd be fun to ask J.K. Rowling.
Definitely.
You know, I also, you know, you talk about, like, countries this and countries that. We never figured out if there was ever at any time a wizarding version of a country's military. Do you think countries ever went to war wizarding style with each other?
I think
that... Because the whole point of Triwizard was to strengthen relationships between the countries, which would suggest that there's diplomacy, which would suggest that there's reason for diplomacy.
But it sounds like it's the
error. Or maybe the Unspeakables, too, even, you know?
Well, it would have to be a lot
of I don't know.
People.
Not really, because you're talking about a community that's a lot smaller than other communities, so it just in proportion. We're not talking about a regular army size, but, yeah, it would be a lot of people. But...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Orders seem like more like they're like police and detectives and to that kind of level. But to
maybe
be like for like the Minister of Magic to order the wizarding military to, you know, we're attacking.
Well,
who did
he direct around during the Voldemort War? He directed around the Aurors. You know, so I don't know. I don't know that they have armed forces other than that. Maybe after Voldemort they'll
come. Yeah, I don't know if like. If they would organize wizards purely to invade and attack other nations for the sake of it because they can.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think with Voldemort, there was a need that they needed to address, you know, a concern that, like, okay, he's taken over, so come on, let's do something about it, rather than the whole, like, let's attack this nation, even though they have their own wizards, we can handle it.
You know, I had a discussion with one of my friends once, is why didn't England or somebody during the course of all their history recruit wizards to help them in the World War IIs? You know, and that kind of goes into the same time the Grindelwald and stuff did not parallel each other, but
That's something I really want to get into with her. I asked her once if the wars feed into each other, and she said, I think they do. And I think there's a sentiment that brews kind of in the air, you know, that it just, the malcontent in one community can feed the other. So maybe at the times of most discontent in the world, they really haven't had the wizards to spare.
That's true.
You know?
Or I would even imagine, too, like, say, like, if they are running parallel, like, with Grindelwald, Hitler, whatnot, like, the wizards, they have their hands filled dealing with wizard problems, that, you know, like, so, like, they kind of have let the Muggles deal with the problems that they kind of, you know, it's like they're spending all their energy here handling problems that they know for sure the Muggles can't handle, you know, like, other magic problems, and so, like, they have to just let the other Muggles sort out the Muggle problems until they get it under control.
Yeah. And they need a Prime Minister who's not scared of the wizard, because think about what the Prime Minister could ask the wizard to help them do.
Exactly.
You know,
because that's where we got into this whole long discussion about what Churchill, you know, I mean, Germany just pounded the heck out of Britain, you know, and so why wouldn't they have done, you know, try and recruit the wizards to help them defense against that, you know, put up a Protegro, or, you know, or some sort of shield to help against, you know, and it just seemed to me that would just like draw, she could not have that happen, it would just supersede too much, you know, that would be,
public.
Well, you could put one wizard on a broom and you have a defense system against missiles.
Invisibility, you know, like, there's so much.
I would imagine, too, like, there's wizards attacking, too, and so those wizards, the wizards that we would be protecting are protecting against the other wizards attacking. That's why I would always see it. It's kind of like a balance of...
That's the trouble. The other side knows magic, too. I love that line.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, that sounds like it's a pretty long Canon conundrum this week, guys.
Word to your mothers.
Sounds good to me. I think we're set. Wizard school in America. We had no idea. And we think it's...
And we didn't expect
it. But it still is fun to talk about.
But it's fun to talk about.
Thanks for indulging me.
Okay, so what's next, Babbitt?
Bitty bit Babbitt.
Here we are for Bit by Bit, where we take a bit of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, a little bit at a time.
Very nice.
Whee! I know.
We can do
What's up
it
this week?
What's up this week is Chapter 13.
Part of it anyway.
Part of it anyway. The Muggleborn Registration Commission.
Ooh.
In other words,
the NBRC.
The Nazi wizard style.
Yeah,
creepy stuff. And little Harry and Hermione busted into the ministry.
Well, and Ron.
Well,
let's do a little bit of backup. When we last time we did a bit by bit, they had just spent months and months planning their getting into the ministry to get the locket back from Umbridge. Months and months coming up with the brilliant plan of polyjuicing a couple of people and getting in. So
original.
Yeah.
In need of those 4 months.
Yeah.
They were, we got a smart bunch of heroes here. And they are smart. That's the thing, but they're kids.
You know, but it was so amazing, though, because I loved how they ended up, the chapter we just finished. It was Umbridge and her little clipboard, you know, and, you know, the little froggy baby was there with her little velvet bow, and then they were back right into it. I just thought that was a good way to bring it right into, you know, there she is, Miss Umbridge, in her prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she is. This is her at the top of her game to her, anyway. You know, Hogwarts was small potatoes. Now she's got the whole community to mess with. Jeez.
Yeah, it makes me curious just about her, you know. I think she really is about the institution rather than the person, because, like, I don't think she's all about Fudge. She was just because he was the Minister of Magic, so.
Right. Suddenly she's all about the Knesset.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
You know, I didn't know what to think about what he would be like or whatever, but we learned about his description in this chapter, right? It's like,
yeah, it's a great
it is. Like a crab or something, right, Melissa?
Yeah, she said he has long black hair and beard streaked with silver and a great overhanging forehead shadowing his glinting eyes, putting Harry in mind of a crab looking out from beneath a rock. It's a great description.
It fits
with his name, this dull, thudding, unintelligent, kind of able to be imperious. He's thick.
Yeah.
You know? Her descriptions always so put you... are always in such harmony with her names, and the names are always in such harmony with their personalities. It's great.
You know what I flashed to when I read that part, though? And this is goofy of me, but you know, like in Goblet of Fire, the guy that played Karkaroff? And there was that goofy scene of him when he's closing the door, and it looks so furtive, and it's so funny.
Oh, that scene.
You know, I just flashed that little look.
So stupid. So random.
I know, but then I flashed, and like, you know how he kind of like peered at the camera and like kind of squinted his one eye, and then it said like the mind of the crab looking out beneath the rock. I was just like, there it is. That was him. I don't know.
The shifty eyes.
It reminds me of like a cartoon. You know, when you look at a cartoon and somebody's looking suspicious and they're looking around the room and like from under a rock or under something, you see two little eyes blinking.
Yes, just little.
You know, like a sneak.
Just white eyes. Bing, bing.
Yeah, exactly. Bing, bing. Exactly with the sound effect too. Beep, beep.
Yeah.
You know, bing, bing.
All eyelids make sound effects.
They do.
All of them. All of them do.
But so we can't blink when we record because it'll just be filled with bink, binks, and dunk, dunks and such. What we go through.
All the pain we go through for you guys.
I know, that scotch tape's expensive.
It is expensive.
It's nasty.
I have kittens lick my eyes so they don't get dry.
No!
What was that? It was much cuter in my head.
But then it just sounded creepy when I said it.
It's slave labor.
I'm so
some
sorry.
Kind of appliance set up to keep them at your eye level.
Oh man,
so gross!
Oh, crap.
Oh my.
And I'm dying over here with this stupid cough I have. I'm not even sick; I have a cough. Sorry. Hey, back on topic.
I'm picturing that head appliance that Ted Kaczynski, whoever, not Ted Kaczynski, what was his name? And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when he wore that little helmet.
How did you get from there to Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber?
No, because his name sounds like that.
Okay.
In that movie. He has this little helmet on that has this huge magnifying glass and a camera attached to it.
Everybody with an SKI at the end of their name is really insulted by you right now.
No, it's just Shalinsky or whatever the hell it is.
You're so gone.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, anyway, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Okay.
Oh, the
book. Umbridge gets into the elevator and she's talking with Hermione, who is Mafalda, and she's saying, oh, there's already 10 people on the list. Like, it's such a shame that they're on the list before they've even been tried to see if they're quote-unquote, you know, mudblood lovers or if they're mudbloods themselves. And she's already acting like they're going, oh, 10 people, it's such a shame. But what if all those 10 people aren't, you know, it's just...
I know.
It's hypocritical. Above the normal hypocrisy they're showing.
I would even say it's typical of her, which is horrible.
True.
It's all evil just masquerading to be like it's official government business. It's like they're just trying to stamp a happy little professional face on their genocide.
Yeah, they're putting a paper trail behind their bias just to make it legitimate.
Yeah.
And trying to be all, oh, it's so sad. BS, you are fine.
Yeah, I mean,
You know?
And there's such a disregard for people. Like, there are way, you know, oh, what? How could it be possible that here in our ministry, you know? It's like as if there's so, oh, there's no regard for human life, you know?
Mm. Oh, and to act surprised that they're like everybody in the world isn't a pureblood when they like make such a big deal about how special the purebloods are. It's like, well,
it's
of course,
so
everybody else isn't a pureblood.
It's, I mean, but have they looked at a family tree later? If they followed their own creed, everybody would be inbred and the gene pool would shrink down to nothing and you'd have defects and diseases.
Yep.
And magic would wither away and the world would fade.
Die. They're so stupid.
They are stupid.
All right, so Pius Thickness gets on the elevator, and somebody mentions Arthur, and immediately he's like, oh, what, is he being tried? Like, he's just waiting for the day. But he says something. He says, if you ask me, the blood traitors are as bad as the mudbloods. Now, I thought, until I reread this line, that Thickness kind of is just going with it. He's being imperious. He's part of all this. He's not as active a hater as the rest of all this, but he's being coerced. That doesn't sound like something he was imperious
to say. No, that seems like that's your natural instinct reaction, that kind of like attitude, because you can be imperious to behave in a certain manner, but I don't know that you can be imperious to think in a certain way. Is that right? I mean...
Or is he not being imperious anymore, and now he just recognizes that this is in the new regime, and he's got to go with it, or he's going to be killed.
Yeah.
And he's trying to kind of show himself to be one of them.
I mean, that's a common thing. I mean, really, you only need to have a couple influential people in this office imperious, and then a lot of other people are just going to follow the lead because they're unsure of themselves and their jobs and their, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. And it's like, it's like, what is it? It's like you have five people in a elevator, and four of them are facing the door. You know, that fifth person, I guarantee you, is not going to be facing the back of that elevator. And if the four people turn around to the back of the elevator, you know, that fifth person will turn with them. It's people just copy each other.
It's true. Well, I like the concept that it's possible that he was imperious at one point, and then they just kind of lifted it, and so now he's kind of like, if he wants to keep his position and his life, he's just going to fall in line or follow suit.
Maybe they even had a confrontation with him. Maybe they lifted it and said, like, you know, look, this is what's happening now. You either go with it or we can imperious you until you're dying dead.
You know, and I have such a problem with that kind of behavior. It's so easy to fall into that, but you heard stories about this, especially during the rise of the Nazi regime. You know, how many people just felt like they had to go along with that kind of ad and put on that one face to survive, and yet they ended up helping that regime when they had a choice. Again, it's like Dumbledore's all about our choices. And I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing, too, with like that form of evil and that, you know, that malice, they like to seduce you into thinking you don't have a choice.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, you don't have a choice, so, you know, you might as well just do it. And so you realize, you know, you do have a choice. And so it's just, it's not easy.
Scrimgeour had a choice.
But, yeah, like Scrimgeour.
Scrimgeour died protecting Harry, you know?
Which I was very happy, not happy that he died, but I'm glad he died in a noble, very Gryffindor manner.
Yeah, it would have been too one-sided if he had just been a bad guy to the end.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't even think he was a bad guy at the beginning. He just had, you know, he was looking out for, you know, I don't know. I know, anyway, that's a whole other topic. Let's just sidestep that.
Well, but then Harry says, they all get separated, and Harry said, this made me laugh, but Harry says, they had not given a moment's thought to what they would do if they were forced to separate. Honestly?
After 4 months?
They didn't think, wait a second, what if as these other people who we haven't planned who will be, really?
Exactly. Like, you'd have to pick, like, three people who work together, who are friends, who have known to associate with each other.
Like the trio.
Instead they pick, you know, Mafalda Hopkirk, who's kind of secretarial and in the administration, and then you have Albert Runcorn, who's a sympathizer, who's like Yaxley, and then you have Reg Catermull, whose wife is going under investigation and whose job is on the line. These are not three people who are going to
interact. He's a janitor, and he's not hanging out with the undersecretary or whoever the hell Mafalda was.
It's just funny.
It's like... the best of planning, but yet they didn't do stuff that's the most obvious, you would think. I don't know. That would have been high on my list.
They didn't.
You would have think Hermione would have thought of that.
Like, honestly, Harry, savior of the world, you didn't think what might have happened if you had to go different ways in the Ministry of Magic.
It'd be being in the White House and seeing, like, somebody's personal secretary, custodian, and a police officer, security guy, just walking around together.
The communications director, or the president's secretary.
Walking
the halls
together,
be...
going into rooms, and having nobody wonder, what the hell are these three up to?
All right.
Well,
so what happened
I like how we saw like the flying. You know, you hear about the owls or like paper airplanes. You know, the little inter department memos, but they really weren't memos, were they?
Mm-hmm.
Harry says they were like pamphlets or something flying through the air.
Yeah, they look different.
I like how she's.
Because he said it wasn't the same colorful airplanes that were there before, right?
Yeah.
It was something different now, yeah. I like that little change. It was interesting because it's just kind of like, not only, it just illustrates the whole fact, like, you know, it's changed through and through. Like, even to the point where, like you know, their internal communications is different now. And it's not even communications anymore. It's just one person talking at everybody else. It's not an open line of communication anymore.
But they have an actual department, a little room where they make pamphlets. I mean, you just like master propaganda machine at work here, you know?
Yeah. Pamphlets about mudbloods. It's ridiculous. It's such a huge about face for the ministry to just be like, hey, suddenly we hate people who aren't purebloods. I wonder if there's something fishy going on in the ministry.
And the outright demonizing of the mudbloods, you know, mudbloods and the danger they pose to a peaceful pureblood society. Like, mudbloods, the way they describe them, if you have muggle heritage, you cannot be peaceful, is what they're saying. And it's
so usurping.
So infuriating. Yeah, meanwhile, exactly. Who's causing war?
It's not them. It's you guys. Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, the parallels to, like, early regimes, you know, especially, I hate to keep bringing this up, but the Nazis were so good at their early attempts with their it was a huge coordinated effort at their propaganda. Just massive marketing, you know, and just spinning, if you will. And to see this, and when you see this in this book, Mudbloods and the Dangers, that, you know, I just, it gave me chills again. I was like, wow. She really did a good job with this, I thought.
It's great, because it just shows the different forms of evil, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, evil isn't always just bad spells and killing. You know, sometimes the worst evil is, like, this usurping, seducing, and, like, trying to tell people, like, oh, you're not even worth being alive, or, you know, it's just, it's crazy how, I don't know, I think when you compare it to the Nazi regime, I think it's, there's a lot of place for that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. It's just awful. Awful. But then where do we go, though? Is this when we find the...
Well, I love Harry uses a decoy detonator.
Yes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Harry uses Fred and George stuff to get through. It's great.
Yeah.
Because he sees the... He sees the eye first, yes?
Yes.
Oh, he does see the eye. Ooh, frozen and staring upwards, just, you know, just as a reminder. But I think you can see through it to the other side. And
yeah.
Is that right?
She was using it, right? Or you took it out and you can see it, like, camouflaged her, like, little spy hole, right? Or something?
I think he figured that if she was in there, she would have seen him, because even though he's underneath the invisibility cloak, so that's why he took it.
I'm pretty sure he looks through it later on. He can look out through that hole and see everybody outside, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Her head in the chopper. I don't know.
He sees from the inside, huh?
I think so.
I forgot about that.
All right, so we go into Dolores' office, and how does it? Harry says, like, Harry feels like he stepped right back through time.
Yeah.
Are the cats there?
Yes, they are.
Everything's there. It's like she packed up and moved into that room.
We're just waving along.
Yeah, it's pink, but those lace, everything's lace, and it's got the little doilies, and just all...
And what a great image of bureaucracy and the trappings of it. I wrote this down on purpose. Enchanted paper clips that coiled snake-like from their drawer and had to be beaten back. How many of you have been sitting at a desk and your paper clips are just, they're all looped into each other and you can't get them all corralled? I mean, it's just a perfect image.
But what we find in her office, though, is what's pretty chilling to me. At least I
thought. She's such a good writer.
Files.
Mm. Oh, the files.
I'm sorry, you know, but I mean, to keep track and detailed on every person and write down what their family, because you found Arthur Weasley, right, John? What is that?
Yeah, it's just creepy. She one of the first ones they found was Arthur Weasley, and then that's how he is a pure blood, but with unacceptable pro-Muggle leanings. And then also says that he's a no member of the Order of the Phoenix. The thing that they have this about everybody, or if it's just about people who work at the ministry, maybe.
Well,
and the fact that they have a period, and the fact that some of them are their co-workers, it's just, it's so, I don't know, daunting.
I like how they're totally fooled though about Ron.
Oh yes.
He says the youngest son is currently at home, seriously ill. Ministry inspectors have confirmed.
Yeah. But I mean, but look how he's labeled undesirable number one. That's for Harry. You know, I mean, imagine reading that about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, undesirable Chipotle fan number one, John Noe. I mean, that would.
I've had a lot of names call that.
None so as perverse as
undesirable
that.
But look at like who should be punished? You know, so like her little glee she probably took in writing that and putting that.
Oh, I know exactly. Oh, that was. I love that little.
Robin looks at it every morning and goes. And, like, is waiting for the day.
Oh, you're foolish when you just said that, Melissa. No. You were excited to hear that.
Sorry. Sorry. Keep going. But, okay, so he tries to get the locket by brilliant Harry again, Accio Locket, whatever it is. But what's interesting to me is that he didn't expect it to work, which means that there are, we've talked about this a couple times before, there are charms. Accio doesn't always work.
Thank God.
Yeah. That'd be funny if Reach is walking down to the office under lock goes, what?
That's a
It makes sense for some spells to be limited. It's like the Alohomora, like letting you out of Azkaban. You need to have limits to every spell, I would think.
So what else do we find instead?
Well, don't we see a picture of someone? That we see, or is it the book? We see a book, right, of Dumbledore, and then we see his picture. Is it the famous biography, Rita's little handiwork?
Mm-hmm. But we also have a picture, and it's the first time we see this person, and then we don't really find out who it is until later on, and it's Grindelwald.
Right.
Grindelwald.
Yeah. I like how he's described. You know, he has golden hair, fell in curls to his shoulders.
Now, you know, does that remind you of Lucifer? To me, it was like a clear Lucifer reference. He's the angel who fell, you know?
But isn't it interesting, though, how he thought it was a young Dodge?
Doge.
I'm sorry.
We should have known Dumbledore was gay.
Yeah.
We should have. I'm sorry. When I saw Doge and how they were planning a year off together to go traveling, it was... She does sort of hint at it in retrospect.
Well, it's a common thing for wizards to go off and explore the world.
I don't know. The loving editorial just kind of made me think there was something potentially there that never got capitalized on. I'm sorry, it's not on topic at all. But it was, in retrospect, you can kind of see.
It's just so interesting. But can I quickly go back to the book, The Name That Lies in Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, said by Rita Skeeter, best-selling author of Armando Dippet, Master or Moron. Don't you just wonder, I mean, wasn't he the headmaster when Dumbledore was there, too? Was that right? I just wonder, I'm sorry.
It's just like what she chooses to write books about, like things that she knows that she can capitalize off of the fame of the person she's writing about, not her own writing.
Yeah.
It's so reminiscent of the real world, isn't it? As soon as there's a hot person out there, boom, there's an unauthorized biography. Look how fast there was a J.K. Rowling unauthorized biography.
It's like before book 5 came out for that.
Oh, I think it was before book 4 came out. It was, and I know that she said she made a comment on her website once about how she has never signed one of those and never will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
Well, that's it for this week. We didn't even get through our chunk.
No.
Here. Well, we'll pick it up next time because somebody comes into the office.
Interesting. Very interesting chapter because there's just a lot of detail.
Yeah, there is.
And this is totally a chapter that we're totally unsure about how they can translate it to the movie. Mm-hmm. Think of how much fun it would be for the art department to be able to make all of like the innards of the ministry and all of the stationery and all of everybody's desks and the pamphlets and
And all those people throw up.
Yeah, nice, Melly.
and all those people throw up.
Oh.
There's a lot of vomit in this chapter, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Thank you, Melissa. I expected John to say something like that, but not you.
We'll all rub off on each other now and then.
Oh, God.
All right, I think it's time to get out of here, and we'll see you guys in the drums.
We're good.
Bye.
Greetings again, Potter fans. This is Quietus from Nikki Crafts. The Crafty Witches and I invite you to join us for July's Craft Along. We'll be making friendship bracelets inspired by the Hogwarts house scarf seen in the movies. Grab some embroidery thread in your favorite house colors and join us in the Harry Potter Crafts Forum on the Leaky Lounge July 1st.
All right, welcome, welcome. It's the drums.
Yay for drums!
Yay for the drums!
I can't wait for school, or I can't wait for school, or... We have a survey that you have to fill out, people.
Survey
to
fill out.
I made it already.
It's important.
It is.
If you like PotterCast, and you want to hear more PotterCasts, and don't want us to quit the show, you have to fill out the survey.
Are you putting out an ultimatum, John?
Yeah.
Thanks. Not so much.
Really, really important survey. It's at PotterCast.com. By the time, hopefully, by the time this episode's online, there should be a cute little button for it at the top of the page. Fill it out. It's not very long. It's probably take you 5-4 minutes. It's like 10 questions. And you tell us which one of us is your favorite or important, and which one is the most entertaining.
Oh,
no, that's not going to be a question. Very important questions. Just a little bit about who our audience is, how old you is approximately, where you live approximately.
It's a podcast census.
Whether or not... okay, I'm out of jokes. But, yeah, survey. Check it out.
There's only a couple of questions. It'll literally take a minute of your time. I spent a lot of time typing in options for the form. So, like, to pick what state you live in, I had to type in all 50 freaking options. And to pick what country you live in, I had to type in a couple of hundred options. So I would love it if you went and filled this out.
I would love it.
Important.
I would love it.
I'll fill it out.
It's just, how old are you? Where are you from? No names. What's your email address? Retype your email address. And then where are you from? And it lets us know where you are and where it's best for us to do live shows and about what age our audience is skewing these days.
And how about where the hell did the island go?
Dude, where's my island?
Dude, where's my island?
Exactly.
My favorite flare button of all time.
Flare!
All right. And, you know, if you want to fill it out anonymously... Just make up an email address, but if you want to hear from us, if you want to know when there's going to be a podcast in your area, then you really do need to put your email address in the field.
Absolutely.
So that's up to you, and it would be a real great help to us. So please do that. It's at leakynews.com/pcsurvey.html.
Sounds great.
Will be most appreciated, and you're not threatened, unlike John.
I mean, what?
Ultimatums. It's like you're like, you must do this.
LeakyNews.com/pcsurvey.html. It's like there's not even a design on this page because making up the form was enough for everybody forever.
Forever.
Literally, I'm typing in. I gotta read you some of these country names, and you have to put them all in because like Kyrgyzstan. Nobody listens to PotterCast in Kyrgyzstan.
Borat might.
Well, if enough people did, we'd have to do a live show there. So it's
okay,
a darn
Burkina
good thing.
Faso. Djibouti.
Djibouti?
Kuwait. I would love it if there was a Kuwaiti listener of Podcast. The Pitcairn Islands.
The Azores.
Samoa. South Africa.
Why couldn't you have just done, like, United States, Canada, Australia, England, and then, like, other?
Well, how unfair is that?
Other?
You don't call other people's countries other.
Exactly.
I mean,
what do you mean?
Other. I mean,
well, certainly. Are you telling me that you put in every country in the world?
I put in every country that Wikipedia offered.
Wow. Serious.
I'm serious.
Seriously. If there's a lot of people that have, like, surveys that have all the countries. They don't write other.
Yeah.
What if they live in, like, a colony that they deemed, like, seceded from whatever union's originally located in, and they don't believe
the
country names?
The locally recognized... It's all the currently recognized sovereign countries. It's all of them. Do you know what they do have it here, which is amazing? Part of Norway, a different country in the Norway territory, is Svalbard, which is actually a place in the Philip Pullman series.
Oh, really?
Oh, it is a place in...
Yeah, it's the bear.
Wow, you're right.
Do polar bears rule there? Do they like to slap other polar bears' jaws off?
Aww.
Except in movies? Okay. Yeah.
Be nice.
So, yeah, leakynews.com/pcserver.html. Please don't make me waste all that good work.
That'll be a nice big fat link on podcast.com.
Thank you.
Oh, we would just appreciate it. So, yes.
Okay. And reminder of tour?
Tour!
July. Well, okay, we're trying to get one together in San Diego after our Comic-Con panel, which is on Sunday the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try and go to, like, a bookstore or something at night so that we can all, you know, there's be so many Potter fans in the area that, you know.
And that's the day the convention ends earlier than normal, too, so it's a good night to do it.
Perfect. Hopefully people aren't leaving. So
about, like, everybody from, like, the convention will, like, come to our podcast, like, you know, all of, like, the Lost directors and, like...
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to come running right
like,
over.
What are we going to do? Should we go home? No. Should we, like, do an after party? No. Let's go to, like, a Harry Potter podcast. That'd be great. We'll start filming, you know, next week instead.
You know what? We could ask them, though, if they would put more Potter references in that show, because I think I know that they're fans.
But Heroes or Lost?
No, Lost people have talked about Potter as well as Heroes, but, I mean, we could...
I'm curious about Heroes.
Those Lost writers were joking around to us saying that they were going to write the 8th Harry Potter book after they finished Lost.
Well,
and that J.K. Rowling was going to write the, whatever,
the finale.
Seventh season of Lost.
Yeah.
They're just going to trade.
Yeah, all right.
It's kind of a funny segment that they did.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so tour. Okay.
Tour.
July 29th will be in Boston. July 30th, we will be in Providence, Rhode Island. On the 30th and on the 29th in Boston, we don't have a place yet. If you have an idea, give us a shout at tour@podcast.com.
Oh, let's go to that. What's that place? That like the rock house, the black house, the witch house that we went to and got postcards.
I don't think they're going to allow us to have a Potter podcast in the Salem torture house.
But how crazy cool was that?
That was pretty awesome.
That's crazy.
Torture house. Damn.
It's not a torture house, but it's like a museum showing all the torture that happened during the Salem witch trials and stuff.
I know, but they don't like still do tortures, I don't think.
Yeah, but I don't want to go around and have a podcast and be all happy and squeeful when there's memories of...
But it would be fun to do one in Salem again. We have done one in Salem, but this should be Boston proper because we have to pre-party for LeakyCon.
Woo!
Woohoo!
So then the 31st we're in New York. We're still looking for a place in New York, FYI. The 1st we're in New Jersey, somewhere hopefully near the South Shore of New Jersey. So let us know if you know a place about for that. The 2nd is Philadelphia. The 3rd is Pittsburgh. And the 4th is Detroit. Any ideas? tour@podcast.com.
And this should be something that both could host the podcast and the Wizard Rock, yes or no?
Yeah, it's going to be worked in. We're going to try to do it different. We're going to try to have a little bit of podcast and a rock show, then a little bit of podcast and a rock show and a little bit of podcast.
It's going to be crazy cool.
It's us, the Whomping Willows, the Remus Lupus, and the Mudbutts.
Woo!
All awesome bands.
Totally.
Very.
And if you live in any of those cities or somewhere in between and you want to offer us some place to sleep, I'll offer you some pancakes.
New York and New Jersey, we're covered.
That's right, yeah.
My little boy loves pancakes, John, so if you're going to make them, he'll be excited.
Oh, yeah, perfect. We should stay at your house. So what the hell? You're in Detroit.
It's surrounded by Hufflepuffs. I'll give you my Hufflepuff, skull.
I want to meet your cat.
You know what? She won't hug.
I'm sure it'll be, like, 10 times nicer than Mooka.
She is. She's a good girl. She's sitting here right now.
She's Bella.
She listens to me, Mr. John.
That name scares me.
Aww.
Yeah. No, she'll like you too.
We can go to Melissa's and make fried mochka and eggs.
No.
Oh, what?
So bad.
Not kosher.
Ooh.
I bet it would not be.
That would not be kosher. That would be obscenely dirty.
I like how Melissa just gets real quiet, like she's used to all this abuse.
No, you should see my face right now.
Uh-oh.
She's doing video podcasts.
That's when you worry, when I get quiet.
Yes, that's what we do. Moving on.
Okay. I think it's time to
go. No, wait. Come to Terminus. Sign up for Terminus. Yes. There's a few registrations still open, but everything is selling out really, really quickly. So please, we're going to have fun.
Yeah, July 1st, man. That's it.
July.
Better register. Register or
that's
you have to
the
buy
deadline?
At the door.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, it costs like $700.
We're doing a Potter casting panel, are we?
Yes.
Ooh.
We
and
I keep getting emails about, like, hey, are you ready to do your presentation? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, yeah.
Thanks, John.
Doing something.
Lots of confidence there.
That's going to drive people in. They're going to want to come.
But I don't need to plan 4 months in advance to talk about podcasts. I could wake up that morning and talk about podcasts.
You know, it's not a bad thing to prepare a little bit rather than rely on the preparation that Sue and I will undoubtedly do that morning. Because Sue didn't do anything.
I'm going to be prepared a la Emerson Sparks before Melissa and Emerson interview.
Be prepared.
You are trying to spoil my book. He is.
Not spoiling
the book. Spoiling
everybody
book.
Knows his stories.
Ooh, is that a hidden a teaser, maybe?
Well, I guess it was.
We didn't know until
way
you...
Way to go, Blabbermouth.
Hey, there's the Melissa book teaser of the week.
Another... Are you got a new segment?
I think so.
For the month, if we'd prefer.
You're so bad. Batman.
No, I just get some... I just make some salivate even more here at that Sparks Boy is in your book.
Sparks Boy?
Huh?
Is that it?
God. Yes, the truth about Memerson is in the book.
Memerson.
Uh-oh. There we go.
Haven't heard that in a long time.
That chapter, it calls for parental...
Oh, stop. It does not. It's terrible.
The PG-13 chapter? My goodness.
No, it is all G-rated. Thank you.
What?
G. Like cartoons.
Oh.
G.
As in string?
Oh.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. I like when he calls you Jonathan. All right, I'm out of here, people.
No,
we're going to continue down this road.
No way.
It's a lovely show.
Lovely show.
Until next time, of course. We need to keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be survey.
Dang right.
Keep each other safe.
Keep faith.
Good night.
Dobby is free.
Oh, and about time, too.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.